Let us begin our service with prayer and the receiving of the Lord's blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's together now sing with Psalter 129, and thereof all of the verses 1 through 5. 129. Rejoice, ye people, homage give to God with voice of triumph sing. So 129, verses 1 through 5. Let's together hear the word of God from Acts chapter 1 first, Acts 1, and then we'll turn to the prophecy of Zechariah. So from Acts 1, let us just read the first 11 verses dealing with the historic account of Jesus' ascension. Acts 1, verse 1, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put into his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So far then, this portion of the scriptures. Let's turn now to the prophecy of Zechariah, and I'll read with you the third chapter. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel, and he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with chains of raiment. And I said, Let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head, and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, If thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then shalt thou also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts. And I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at, for behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. And for behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. So far then, this vision of Zechariah. And now from our confession of faith, I'd like to read with you Article 26. It's page 17 in the back of your Psalter. And Article 26 dealing with Christ's intercession, directly related to the Ascension Day. We believe that we have no access unto God, but alone through the only mediator and advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, who therefore became man, having united in one person the divine and human natures, that we men might have access to the divine majesty, which access would otherwise be barred against us. But this mediator, whom the Father has appointed between him and us, ought in no wise affright us by his majesty, or cause us to seek another according to our fancy. For there is no creature, either in heaven or on earth, who loveth us more than Jesus Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, yet made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a man and of a servant for us, and was made like unto his brethren in all things. If then we should seek for another mediator who would be well affected towards us, whom could we find who loved us more than he who laid down his life for us, even when we were his enemies? And if we seek for one who has power and majesty, who is there that has so much of both as he who sits at the right hand of the Father and who has all power in heaven and on earth? And who will sooner be heard than the own well-beloved Son of God? And therefore it was only through distrust that this practice of honoring instead of dishonoring instead of honoring the saints was introduced, doing that which they never have done nor required, but have on the contrary steadfastly rejected according to their bounden duty, as appears by their writings. Neither must we plead here our unworthiness. For the meaning is not that we should offer our prayers to God on account of our own worthiness, but on account of the excellency and the worthiness of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose righteousness is become ours by faith. Therefore, the apostle, to remove this foolish fear, or rather distrust from us, justly saith that Jesus Christ was made like unto his brethren in all things, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And further, to encourage us, he adds, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The same apostle saith, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. And likewise, Christ has an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. What more can be required, since Christ himself saith, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. To what purpose should we then seek another advocate, since it has pleased God to give us His own Son as our advocate? Let us not forsake Him to take another, or rather to seek after another, without ever being able to find Him. For God well knew when He gave Him to us that we were sinners. And therefore, according to the command of Christ, we call upon the Heavenly Father through Christ, Jesus Christ, our only mediator, as we are taught in the Lord's Prayer, being assured that whatever we ask of the Father in His name shall be granted unto us. So far, these blessed words of this confession article of faith on the Scriptures. Let us now gather our thoughts in prayer before the throne of God, in the name of Jesus Christ. We have no access to Thee, O Majesty of Heaven. Holy and glorious as Thou art, unholy and unglorious as we are. But we have been so richly instructed already tonight, Lord, that that only way through which we may draw near to Thee, though we are sinners still, is through Jesus Christ. And what a precious confession, Lord. We do not have to be frightened by His majesty, as now Thou, O blessed Lord Jesus, Thou art exalted above all name on the throne of heaven and earth, surrounded by all the seraphim, the angels, so full of brightness that John became as a dead man when he saw Thee in Thy full glory. And, O gracious God, may we see and sense something of that also this evening, Thy glory as that ascended mediator, as that advocate for Thy church. And Lord, as we today are on this special day together about this joyful tiding, make Thou our ears to hear and make our hearts to understand that this is a day in which Thou art calling us to rejoice and to be glad in it. There are several of such days, O God, in our church calendar. But really, there is probably none that is meant to be so joyously celebrated as this Thy Ascension Day. And may we tonight also experience that here together with young and old. O God, let Thy blessed Spirit be so among us to direct our eyes through the words that we hope to consider to that ever-blessed Mediator in whom alone we may draw near to God. And what a truth we read, Lord, that Thou art able to save us to the uttermost, to the absolute extent we need to be saved. And, O God, wilt Thou show us that the way to Thee is open, and that there is no condition to meet then to be a sinner. For Thou hast come not to save righteous and to receive half-righteous, but Thou hast come to save sinners and to receive whole sinners. And may we be so tonight. And in that frame of heart, may we again come before Thee, Lord. Strengthen Thou especially each one of Thy sheep and Thy lambs that are here gathered, Lord, in this exceeding comfort of having Thee, the Lord Jesus, on the throne of God, that same as Thou wast on earth, except now glorified, with all the power given in heaven and earth, to rule on behalf of God with a special eye on those that are thine. Never dost thou lose any of thine own out of sight. Thou dost not slumber nor sleep. Never does thy prayer life slacken, O Lord Jesus, as thou makest intercession continually, even when we cannot pray, when we so wearied or tired, or so overcome with the needs of our life, the pains of our body, that it seems that we can't even get a sigh across our lips. Oh, what a comfort to know that in those moments thou dost pray for all those that are thine. And great God, may that comfort indeed be winged into the souls of every one of thy children gathered here or not able to gather here, as some of them are at home with sick families or in the hospital or not able to even attend to the means of grace. O God, we pray therefore that thou would bless each of them that are listening with us tonight. Thou remember Mrs. Dirksen in the hospital. Remember all others, Lord, who for other reasons could not gather with us and may be on journeys out of town or in other conditions. And so, Lord, we also pray that thou, as the King, would make willing in the day of thy power those hearts in our midst that are still living in rebellion and unbelief and hardness of heart and indifference. O God, we bring them also to thy throne. Thou also art the only one able to turn the hearts in the day of thy power to make willing thy people. And O God, may it please thee to gather also from out of our midst such that must yet be saved. Thou hast promised that thy word shall accomplish the gathering of all thy elect, and that not one shall be missing. And so we lift up such souls in our midst that they may experience tonight that one word is only needed. One word. As Luther sang, one word will fell the giant. One word, O God, will open a heart. One word will make us pay attention to the great need of our soul. And so we pray that thou through the preaching tonight also will arrest what is careless and thoughtless and wandering and anchor them by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we look around today, there is little to encourage us in the church and in the nation and in the leaders of our nation. As we see the moral indifference of the majority of our fellow men, the spiritual barrenness among those that call themselves Christian. And so we can feel discouraged, but Lord, help us tonight to be of good cheer and to turn our eyes like Jehoshaphat did unto thee. And the words that thou spoke to him, may they also be inspiring to us tonight. When thou encouraged him, Lord, of not being afraid or dismayed, as thou reminded him that the battle was not yours, but it is God's. And that is also for us tonight the great encouragement. Battle, Lord, among us. Battle in this nation. Battle within the Christian churches. Break down this power of Satan, destroying many with a name to live, while dead, with feelings stirred while dead, with lots of activity for Christ while not knowing Christ. We pray thee, O God, awake thou upon us, and turn thou thy hand, and let us see in this century a revival that has not been seen hardly at all anywhere in the previous century in this country. Lord, will thou continue to let thy church decay within our nation? We cry to thee again tonight that thou would graciously visit us with thy almighty reviving influences. Lord, we pray that thou have mercy upon all of us here of the need. We especially also beg thee once more for Joel and John and Jolene and little Logan and the needs that are still in his little body and the needs that the doctors face and decisions, Lord, as there are the concerns. And we just pray that thou bless them together with sending also thy hand upon him and upon them. And so bless us now, Lord, also thy servant, as I may lead this service in opening up a few scriptures. May it please thee to open them up also for me, that we may open them up more also for the congregation listening here. So hear our prayer. Forgive us our sins, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing Psalter 182. O Zion, it is thy God's command that thou in strength securely stand. O God, confirm and strengthen still thy purposes in us fulfill. So Psalter 182, and I couldn't choose what verses, so we do all seven of them tonight. Thank you. the 10th of Tishrei. In the Jewish calendar, about the September month for us, was undoubtedly the most significant day in the Jewish calendar. 10th of Tishrei. It's not the same night that Zechariah has his night visions. We read in chapter 1 that that was in a different month of his life, the 20th day of the 11th month, which is the month Sebat. So therefore there is no connection with the chapter and that special day. What is the special day, children? You do not know the Jewish calendar, I don't blame you for that either. But it was the only day in which God commanded Israel to fast for the whole day. It's such an important day that everybody, little to old, needed to pay attention to how important the day was. And you will do that when you fast, because your stomach will growl and it will remind you, oh yeah, that's right, it's a special day. What was the special day? It was the Day of Atonement. Now, not everybody could go to the temple that day. There's too many people to travel too far. But all over the nation, that day was marked as the day of the Old Testament. Serving high priest, who began the day really early that day, first thing he would do is take a bath. That was not uncommon for the Jewish priest to take bath, but this day he would take a very special bath. He would wash himself several times, the Jewish rabbis say. Make sure he is spotlessly clean. And then he would put on his white coat. That day he was not in all his ornate, beautiful, colorful coat. He was clothed in white linen from head to toe. The high priest, that's the only day he was that. The rest of all the days, he's all colorful, with all kinds of beautiful coverings. But on that Day of Atonement, spotless white. He would check it over. There's not a spot anywhere on the rim or on the hems. That had to be so clean. And then he would go first into the Holy and Holy of Holies for himself and his family. Then he comes out again. Altar again, and we go in for the second time for all the house of Israel. Twice. Some of them say even he might go in three times, but I couldn't find confirmation on that, so let's leave it with two times. Why all that? Why was that so important? Well, let me read it to you in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 30. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It shall be a Sabbath of rest, and ye shall afflict your souls. There's the fasting on that day. That's why we are gathered here tonight. Although tomorrow is the official Ascension Day, I have to preach in Susanna tomorrow night. I had a graduation tonight, so I'm glad you're flexible to switch over the evenings. But this is a special day. You know, this is more important than Christmas Day. I was noticing today that there's hardly any psalm in the book of Psalms that deal with Christmas. I always find psalters, of course, that deal with the theme of joy and thanksgiving. But there's not any psalm directly written about Christmas. We make a big day of that in our culture, don't we? But Ascension Day, there are about seven psalms written by the Holy Spirit to celebrate this day. Holy Spirit tells us by that already that this is the crowning day of the entire Old Testament as well as New Testament ecclesiastical year. Ascension Day is a day of celebration. More than Bethlehem's birth. For that's just the beginning of the journey. Though we know that he ended the journey well, you don't know that until the journey is ended. But on Ascension Day, we know heaven and earth declared that Jesus' work perfectly accepted. Therefore, congregation, that shows you immediately a little bit of the poverty in our nation, isn't it? There's no national holiday on Ascension Day. Everybody closes the shop on Christmas. Nobody closes the shop on Ascension Day. Nobody has a day off. You see that? And so now it's wonderful that you have this night already tonight, so that tomorrow you can afflict your soul somehow to remind yourself about the joy of Ascension Day. And to ponder about that throughout the day. And maybe read all the Psalms that have to do with Ascension. Psalm 2, Psalm 24, Psalm 68, Psalm 72, Psalm 110, and the one we sang, Psalm 47. All to do with Ascension Day. Maybe a good exercise in your private devotions to read all Psalms tomorrow and also do what it speaks about. Now, nothing is more comforting but to know what this beautiful confession tonight wrote. Isn't that just gorgeous, these words of that confession? That we now have in the heavenly glory man who walked on earth and who is the same today. That means the same in his attitude, the same in his warmth of heart, the same in his love to sinners as he was on earth. You cannot deny that, right? That he had a love for sinners while he was on earth. I hope you won't deny that. If you go read the Gospels, you can find that out real quick. No matter how bad they were, Jesus had a love to them. Even that rich young ruler, he looked beyond and he loved him, it says. It's the same today. He has a love for sinners. Isn't that beautiful? And the majesty to do all what needs to be done to save sinners. That is now this evening what we may think of together. But I'm going to take you to Zechariah's prophecy this evening. And the third chapter speaks about the vision of the high priest. Those of you familiar with Zechariah, it's a vision he has all in one night. Eight of them. Beginning with chapter 1, he gets into a vision in the evening or the night, and he sees all these various visions. Now, I have to place for a moment, Zechariah is post-Babylonian. They've come back from Babylon. Small remnant indeed. There's a little part of the temple built, but there's all kinds of hindrances, and the temple is not finished at this moment. And so there's all kinds of discouraging times. And in that discouraging time, Zechariah gets these visions, and they are indeed full of encouragement. I already said that this is not an Atonement Day vision, but it has a lot to do with Atonement Day. And so with God's help, let us read again the first part of chapter 3, where in the vision he sees the high priest Joshua standing before the angel of the Lord. Next to him, Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Now, that vision this evening, let us consider what Zechariah saw, and let us consider what Zechariah heard, and make some applications for us tonight, also in this hour of celebration of the Ascension, as well as an examination and preparation for the Lord's Supper this coming Sunday. What does Zechariah see? Well, we notice that he saw the angel of the Lord. Who is that? That's Jesus. The angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, who came at various places and various times through the Old Testament. I will not go and show you all the passages, but that's the same one as the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. In theological terms, we call the angel of the Lord often a pre-incarnation appearance. He came to Abram, and he came to Lot, and he came to Samson, and so on. Let's leave it as it is. You can see him as the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, often indeed the same as Jesus. And next to him, or before him rather, stands Joshua, the high priest. We do not know and we do not read what Joshua is saying, but of course we know from what the priestly task is, what he's doing. He's praying. He is pleading. He is undoubtedly asking the Lord to dwell among them, to receive them. As the high priest, he draws an eye unto the throne of God. However, when Zechariah looks a little closer, he gets a shock of his life. Read with me in verse 3. When he looks at Joshua, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. I said the most shocking thing for him to see is that. You have to be understanding what this Day of Atonement represented and how a high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies, which here he is definitely doing. Never would a high priest dare to do this, congregation. The word filthy is literally absolutely filthy. This white garment is spotted and blemished, and you cannot imagine how filthy it is. He is clothed with filthy garments. How does he dare? What has happened to Joshua? Why did he clothe himself like that? Right? Well, here it is. He didn't clothe himself like that. When you and I would see him walk into the Holy of Holies, you would see him sparkling white. But when the angel of God sees him, he sees Joshua on the Day of Atonement as filthy garments. Yeah, no matter how sparkling, beautiful your righteousnesses are, in God's sight are loathsomely filthy. Yeah, that's what we have to learn tonight. This is what God sees on Joshua, not what Joshua would see himself. Isaiah himself said it earlier, our righteousness are as filthy rags. Our best, our most beautiful prayers, our most humbling frames, our most sweetest feelings. Oh friend, those beautiful tears of godly sorrow who feel so sweet, let me assure you, they are filthy in the sight of Holy God. You can't appear before that. God with those matters. Thirdly, he saw Satan standing next to this Lord Joshua. Satan stands there, and Satan, as you notice, is resisting Joshua. That's three. It is Satan standing in his right hand to resist him. What does that mean, to resist? The Hebrew word resist means he is bringing in a case against Joshua. The word resist here is indeed a legal term almost. He is seeming to bring a case against Joshua before the Lord's throne. He says, Lord, this cannot be. What? Thou cannot let such a man pass. Thou cannot live among that people. Thou cannot dwell with them. Thou can have no communion with such people. Thou cannot gather those people around thy table and have fellowship with them. Lord, look at him. Look how filthy he is. How can thou even hear him? See, he's resisting. He's resisting Joshua the high priest. He is indeed having a case. almost seems like he's on God's side. What about thy holiness, Lord? See this man? See this Joshua, how filthy he is? What about thy justice, Lord? This is below thy dignity. They are unholy people. They are unfitting people. And is it now fitting that thou would dwell with such people? Maybe it's not only Satan who has been saying that this week to you or to the Lord. Maybe your own thoughts are, it's not fitting for me to dwell with God or to seek His nearness. How can I have communion with this holy God at His table? You see, the purpose of Satan, of course, is only to destroy, isn't he? It's to condemn. It is to destroy the work of God. He is hindering it. That's always what he does. First, he tempts us like a harlot, makes us fall in sin, and he turns around and he prosecutes us like a lawyer at the very throne of God. That's not, Lord. Thou cannot take such a one. That's Satan. Always changing his strategy, but only one purpose, to resist the church of God. Now Zechariah sees one more thing. He sees Joshua silent. Notice in this whole vision, Joshua says nothing. When Joshua hears the accusation, he can't deny Satan. He can't deny that Satan is correct. I am guilty, Lord. I'm filthy indeed. And congregation, that's all what we all will be when God opens our eyes also. Has he done that? One of those wonderful marks of grace is that God will show you that your best righteousness are just like Joshua's filthy garments. What we thought was okay and acceptable, the Spirit of God will slowly and more open our eyes. How totally unacceptable we are in the sight of this holy God. Just as one of the Psalters says, who shall ascend into the heavens? Who will appear in the Holy of Holies? Who will have a standing in the nearness of God? He that has clean hands, a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. No one of the Lord's people will pretend that they have those four qualities. And that is why you see Joshua standing there. He is mute. He must only agree with Satan. He must indeed take God's side against himself. He is meek. He is not worthy indeed. So then, with these undeniable facts, the case of Joshua is sealed. He's filthy and guilty. It's a done case. God is holy and righteous, and Satan has truth on his side for once. Indeed, that in a short sketch is the dilemma of men. We face a holy God. We are a filthy people. No matter how pious and religious and what spiritual things you have to show for, just take it tonight. In God's sight, you are yuck. Filthy. And if you have nothing else but that what you now have, like Joshua, Satan will win the plea. And friends, this is bringing us to the whole matter of Ascension Day, isn't it? Maybe this week you've been struggling with all these facts of your life. You've been looking at your own life and you have to conclude, I am as filthy as you can ever imagine I am. Perhaps you so look at the Lord's Supper and you've been thinking, there is no place for a man or a woman like me. It's all polluted and my best is filthy with selfishness and impurity and discontent and pride and evil thoughts and unbelief. And you name it. Maybe you say, I see no way out. I have no rebuttal to Satan, to my own conscience, to the law of God. Not a bad place to be. It's one of those places that the scriptures speak about, to become silent before God. But where we have to be silent, Jesus speaks tonight in the rest of the vision. But let's sing first together of Psalter 57, verse 1, 2, and 3. The earth and the fullness thereof, which if it is stored, the world and its dwelling belong to the Lord. And what follows then in 57, 1, 2, 3? After what he saw, let's now consider what he heard. And that is a message of hope. tying in with this beautiful gospel of Jesus' ascension into heaven. First, he heard that the Lord took up the case for Joshua. That's not an insignificant little fact, my friend. That is actually all of the gospel fact. The Lord took up the case for Joshua. You notice Joshua didn't have to say anything. He has also nothing to defend himself with. He stands there mute before that very face of God as these accusations and the resistance of Satan is leveled at him. But the angel of the Lord speaks. The faithful covenant God and the mediator. He doesn't plead, by the way. He doesn't argue his case either. He simply declares. He says, Satan, be quiet. And you notice Satan never says a word again in this scene. That's the good news. Good news is not what you must do. There's nothing we can do, my friend, except make it worse. The great news is that God does it all. He reconciles. He renews. He brings together. He shuts up Satan. And he cleanses Joshua. This is the good news. Tonight again, I may proclaim to you the day of ascension is good news. There is one at the right hand of the Almighty who loves you more than anybody else. Yeah, I underline that statement in our confession and I say, yeah, he only loves his people. That's not what it says there. That's not what it says in the scripture either. Do not limit the love of God and Jesus. There's one there at the right hand of the Father who is able and willing to save to the uttermost all that seek to come to God through him. And when anyone tells you you're not welcome at his feet, dismiss it. No, you're not welcome at God's feet. You're correct about that. He is a holy consuming fire. But you're welcome at the mediator's feet, no matter what shape, color, smell you are. That's what the gospel teaches us. He is the mediator who receives sinners. No, I may not invite you all to come to the Lord's table next Sunday. That I may not do. But as the ambassador of my beloved Master, I may all invite you to come to my Master. And to cast your case at his feet. And to come even as filthy as Joshua. Now notice what the Lord says. He gave Satan a rebuke. But he knows what the rebuke is not. The rebuke is not, Satan, you are a liar. He doesn't say, Satan, you're a false witness. You're twisting the truth again. You are now bringing right facts, you're bringing false facts. No, the facts are undeniable. Joshua was standing there in filthy garments. There is nothing to deny about that. So, the Lord can't deny those facts either. Those filthy garments are enough, clear enough. What's the rebuke then? Let's read it. The Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem. That's not just a pretty city, by the way. Even though it's a nice city, as you've seen some of it, some of you. That's a harlot city. The city that took the Lord Jesus and crucified him. That's a city as filthy as Joshua standing before the throne. I have chosen it, Jerusalem. I have chosen. Those are my people.
You can, and you find out a lot in this book. In chapter 1, verse 17, cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities shall through prosperity be spread abroad. The Lord shall yet comfort Zion, and he shall yet choose Jerusalem. There's something marvelous about God's choice. What's marvelous about it? It's a filthy Joshua that he chose. It's a filthy sinner that he chose. It's an unbelievable, rejectable man or woman that he chose. You see? That gives courage to draw near to God when you read those kind of facts. That shouldn't make you sit down and say, well, I'll just wait. No, that should encourage you to come. Lord, thou chose Jerusalem. People like that, just like me, terrible, hostile, rejecters, selfish. I have chosen thee. Is God's sovereign, free, and one-sided good pleasure to save sinners? Not saints. That's such a deceitful word, to think that he saves saints. He saves sinners to make them saints. And if you come anywhere not close to being a saint before his feet, he will rebuke you. When you come as a total sinner, he will receive you. So he did, and so he does. The Lord states in divine fact, I have chosen Jerusalem. Is this not a brand plucked out of the fire? Now what does that mean? Well, he threw that city in Babylon, you see. That brand, that stick, that's a stick. That's a sticky through in Babylon. That's Israel. That fire is Babylon. God sent them to Babylon, and they were in the fire like a stick. But before they were totally burned, he took them out again. All scorched, all black. But he took them out. And now Satan says, God says to Satan, Satan, what do you think? You think I plucked this brand from the fire to throw it back in the fire? You think I will do that with my people? Satan, I have chosen this one and I've taken him out of the fire. You think I'll throw him back in the fire? No, I have a different way of dealing with this brand, this stick. And congregation, how do I now know if I'm such a stick taken out of the fire? That's a good question. That's a question we all have to think about for a moment. Am I now also such a brand? No, in paradise we all were sticks thrown in the fire. We cut ourselves off, by the way. We threw ourselves in the fire. So we are burning, as it were, in our fallenness. But now he speaks about this Jerusalem. That's a brand I plucked out of the fire. How would I know I'm such a brand plucked out of the fire? The elect, in due time, though in various degrees and in different measures, shall attain this assurance of this their eternal and unchangeable election, having been chosen as a brand out of the fire. That's what I added. And you do not find this out by inquisitively prying into the secret and deep things of God, but you find this out by observing in yourselves with a spiritual joy and a holy pleasure, the infallible fruits of election, pointed out in the Word of God, such as true faith in Christ, childlike love, fear, godly sorrow for sin, hungering and thirsting after Jesus Christ, and meekness of heart, and conviction of the poverty in all you are and do. Those are very observable things in yourself. They're not so hard as we sometimes make it. We make it so hard sometimes to. Our fathers didn't. Now you don't need a voice from heaven to know you are elect. Well, then you need to observe in yourself whether the marks of the Holy Spirit's grace are in your heart. And relying and looking and hungering after Christ, faith in Christ. Godly sorrow over the sins I do, I feel. That's a sorrowful feeling. And hungering for something I don't have in myself. Because all my righteousness are filthy. Yet I'm hungering for the righteousness that are in Christ then, of course. Yeah? Those are marks. And if you see those marks, then do what this canons of Dort says, then observe with a spiritual joy and a holy pleasure, knowing that you are a brand taken out of the fire. And once he's done that, he will never throw you back in the fire again. No matter how filthy you are again. Therefore, Satan, I rebuke you. This is a brand plucked out of the fire. You think I'm going to throw him back again? And then the third thing that Zechariah gets to hear. It's like a divine action. He that answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. Before Satan's sight of Zechariah, we see something of God's marvelous work that is culminated in the ascension day. What does Jesus here picture in this vision? When he says to those that stood by, I assume the angels, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him, that is to Joshua, he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. Here we see God's action in the completely justifying of his people. And how does he do that? He takes away all their filthy garments and he clothes them with a change of raiment. A change of raiment. Literally is rich robes. Visually, Joshua gets to see, Zechariah gets to see here how God justifies a filthy Joshua. And that is fruit, my friends, of the labor of Christ beginning at the manger to the cross, and that culminates in the appearing of him with his merits before the throne. Remember how Paul writes it? He was delivered for our offenses, filthiness. And he was raised for our justification. And that raising that starts on Resurrection Day is finally finished on Ascension Day, when he has brought the high priest in the very heavenly throne to appear with his blood in the court of heaven. That's what Sunday morning we may again commemorate. Why did the Lord institute the Lord's Supper? Why did he break the bread and shed the wine? To reassure his children, though they feel filthy here, that he has taken all their filthiness away, and that there is none left. I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. This takes place in the court of heaven. Notice, justification is something that takes place outside of us, not inside. Sanctification is something that takes place inside us, little by little. But justification that happens at the throne room And from there, God sends the message to his people that they are justified by faith in Christ Jesus. Yeah, they get to know that. How then? You say, well, how would I know that then? Well, you know that from the abundant promises of the gospel. Over and over doesn't the Lord declare, whosoever believeth in me has everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation. Isn't that clear? Ah, but that's not sufficient. Why is that not sufficient? Who said that is not sufficient, what Jesus says? Who says that? That's not what Jesus says and not what Paul says and Peter and James and John say. And if they don't say it, then no need to listen to it, do we? This is the scriptures. Hear what he sees in this vision. I have caused thy filthiness to pass from thee. It's a promise that is over and over repeated. Think again of that publican standing before the Lord. And then Jesus in that parable says, look, what happened on earth now? What happened on heaven? This one will go home justified rather than the other. It happened in heaven. Even though that publican only thought he is a filthy man, and he was in the sight of God. The Lord also confirms this in the Lord's Supper. Beg now, children of God, beg this day that the Lord would use the sacrament of the Lord's Supper to seal home verse 4 of this prophecy. And as you hear it out of my mouth, forget about my mouth, hear it out of his mouth. This bread is broken for you for a complete remission of all your sin. You think those words are some mockery or so? Is that some holy formula that we'd have to say? No. That's the word of the living Savior who speaks this sacramentally to every one of his children. Not in vision, but in visual. What he says here in this passage, take away the filthy garments. Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with thy garments. Congregation, that is one more thought. What happened to those filthy garments then? They clothed Jesus Christ from the beginning of his incarnation until he died on the cross. That's where they went. Through his life he carried them. That's why he said to John the Baptist, no, John, I know I don't need to be baptized for myself. But allow it, please. I come to fulfill righteousness, and I'm taking my place under the law because I am covered with filthy garments. You see? My filthy garments, your filthy garments, children of God, were on Jesus from the moment of his birth until he died on the cross. Come and behold this unspotted and unblemished high priest in his own nature. He was dressed with these filthy garments. Behold, we see him as Isaiah says, despised, rejected, the man of sorrows. He's borne our griefs. He was wounded for our transgression. He's bruised for our iniquities. He was made sin so that you may be made righteousness in the sight of this holy God. And therefore tonight this prophetic word of Christ is spoken not just to Joshua with his filthy garments, but to every one of God's dear children taken as a brand out of the fire. Behold, I have caused thy filthy garments to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with the chains of raiment. And all of a sudden Zechariah says, Lord, please, a mitre on his head. Yeah. Not just his garment, but also his head. A mitre is a hat. It's the hat that the priest would wear. And what is written on that hat? Holiness unto the Lord. It's all holy, from top to toe. You see, that is now Ascension Day. As we read in this beautiful confession article tonight, that he went there to make intercession with his own sacrifice. This, we don't need saints, you see. We don't need Mary and we don't need Peter. And we don't need any other saint. But you also don't need to be saintly. Huh? No. Filthy. You see all that, and if so, you take your refuge to him that is able by his own blood and righteousness to cause our iniquities to pass and to be clothed with his righteousness. Then truly you will experience comfort beyond words that can be explained. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give thee thanks tonight for this vision thou showed to Zechariah. And though we have not delved into everything, Lord, of the sequel of these visions he saw, yet it is already so rich what we consider tonight. Bring it home. Let now also thy church here gathered look beyond their own filthiness and consider this great act of thee culminated in the Ascension Day. Thou hast caused all their filthy garments and their iniquity, as it says, to be taken away from them. And Lord, thou knowest that as we try to live holy, we make not even a small beginning. And that is a burden and a struggle and a discouragement to everyone who knows of spiritual life. But Lord, let us then not dwell tonight only on that, but as thou hast lifted up our eyes into this vision, let that truth cheer the heart and cause us to celebrate the death of Jesus, but now also the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ at thy right hand. So we ask thee to take further these thoughts tonight, Lord, and let them be multiplied much in our meditations and prayers. And bring us safely home and safely in thy house again this Sunday. And Lord, and thou art bringing us together also with the special sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Prepare our hearts. Lead us and teach us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. 198. We'll sing verse 1, 5, 6, and 7. O God, be thy anointed Son, with truth and righteousness endowed, that justice may on earth be done, the meek protected from the proud. So we sing 1, and then the last 3, 5, 6, and 7.
not effort. Receive now the blessing of this almighty and gracious God, and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Yep, I'm fine with that.